which are gathered in the attitude of prayer before the Lord. Our Father, we do thank Thee that so many of us have heard the call again another Wednesday night. We remember that great verse of bidding in the Hebrews, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And our Father, we thank Thee for all who have obeyed the command of Holy Scripture and have sought to present themselves before the Lord. We remember again that other great verse early in the Acts, and they continued steadfastly in teaching. And we thank Thee, Father, that now the hour of teaching has come again for us another week. And we thank Thee for those who seek to continue steadfastly in teaching, who seek to get a grasp of the Word patiently, prayerfully, by the Spirit of God, to be led further and further into the great truths of Holy Scripture. And our Father, we thank Thee for Thy help and presence in the nights that are gone. We look back to some of the nights that we've spent together around the Word. We remember the night in the foundations, as we saw those mighty stones laid, the foundation of everything. And we saw how that there are foundations, the foundational things that are so important in the life of a believer. And then, Father, we remember the night of the ascent by which He went up into the house of the Lord. And we thank Thee for speaking to our hearts that night about our ascent and our coming up into the house of the Lord. We recall last Wednesday night how we saw Simeon's ascent, how he came by the Spirit into the temple. And we pray that each of us may know what it is to come so regularly, so steadfastly, so prayerfully, so reverently, that others like the Queen of Sheba will admire our ascent unto the house of the Lord. And our Father, we pray as we come tonight to the Scriptures of truth that the Spirit of God will be pleased indeed to open up the Word to our hearts. We need help, divine help. It's the only help will be of any avail tonight. Oh, may the Spirit of God be our teacher for this hour. May we receive help from on high. And then, Father, as we work our way toward the holy place and the most holy place in the temple in the weeks to come, prepare us for some of the most sacred and deepest of truths, that our spirits may be fed and our hearts taught. And so we commit ourselves to Thee. Look to Thee in faith for help, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we're just taking a very short reading tonight, and we're turning to the Galatian letter, chapter 3. Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians 3, and verse 28. We shall read 27 for convenience there. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, the title to our Bible class study tonight, our Bible class meeting, is The Middle Wall of Partition, or Barriers That Divide. And you can see by my use of that latter expression that we are broadening out the scope of our study tonight, and we are not limiting it to the middle wall of partition. Now, in coming to this study tonight, There are one or two things that I will need to do, and I will need to use the model just for that purpose. And so I'm going to turn for the model to the model for a few moments here, just to get the truth outlined that we're after tonight. Now, we come across the temple here. You remember how we were on the ascent by which Solomon went up into the house of the Lord, and we saw Christ's ascent into the Father's house in heaven, as well as our ascent to the ordinary house of the Lord down here. And then you remember we had a night on the pinnacle of the temple here. We devoted that night to the subject of temptation. And then last Wednesday night we mentioned here about the courts. And we were on the court of the Gentiles. Now, we have the centerpiece elevated, as you can see, in this black foundation. But we come across the court of the Gentiles here. And if you come up to the model afterwards, you'll notice what is called the middle wall of partition that was right here in the far side of the court of the Gentiles. Now, we leave the court of the Gentiles, we go past the middle wall of partition, and we enter by the gate beautiful. This gate over here, where my Lord is pointing, the first at that main entrance there. Now, when we enter in of the gate beautiful, we come into the court of the woman. So we have the court of the Gentiles and the court of the woman. Now, leaving the court of the woman, you come up 15 steps through the gate Nicanor, and you enter into a little court, the smallest of all the courts, sometimes known as the court of the men, and we use that title tonight, sometimes the court of Israel. But it was divided off from the court of the priests by a little balustrade, and the men could advance beyond the women and come into what was known as the court of the men. Now, in leaving that little court inside the gate Nicanor, you come into the court of the priests. So we have the court of the Gentiles, the court of the women, the court of the men, and the court of the priests. Those were the four courts that were in the temple. Now, we shan't be touching on it except just a little tonight in the last point, but when you come in through the door into the temple proper here between the two pillars, Jachin and Boaz, you come into the holy place, and then you leave that and you come into the most holy place, two compartments within the temple proper. Now, that is a brief outline there of the ground we will be covering tonight. And what I want you to notice here tonight is not just the middle wall of partition, but I want you to notice also the barriers that divide. Now, this is how we're going to take our study tonight. In the court of the Gentiles, we have barrier number one. That is the middle wall of partition. The Gentiles could not proceed any further. In court number two, which is the court of the women, we have barrier number two, because the woman could not proceed any further. In court number three, which is the court of the men, the men could not proceed any further. They daren't go into the court of the priests. And so we have barrier number three. And then when you come into the court of the priests and even enter into the first compartment, the holy place in the temple, you have another barrier. Because there was the veil of the temple, as there was the veil in the tabernacle, and only the high priest could approach beyond that veil. In other words, only one man out of 2 to 3 million people was ever allowed to go beyond that veil and to stand in the immediate presence of God in the temple. Now, I trust tonight as we take up our study on the barriers that divide, we shall see something of the privilege of our age and the day of grace in which we have been born. Because as we shall see tonight in our study, our Lord Jesus Christ has come. And barrier number one is down, because there's neither Jew nor Gentile now. And barrier number two is down, because there's neither male nor female. And barrier number three is down, because there's no particular sect or class that we can call within the church the priests. And barrier number four is down, because as we shall see tonight, we have all boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. So what we're going to do tonight is to come right through the temple here, from the outside court to the innermost court, and we're going to see the barriers, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we're going to see them all crumble as our Lord Jesus Christ Himself has come, the mighty Samson of the New Testament that has grasped hold of these barriers in the way of mankind and has removed them out of his way and made a way for us all into the holiest of all. But now, before I do that, I would like just to take a moment or two to turn you to one or two other barriers here mentioned in the Bible. Now, turn into the Colossian letter, and we'll look at barriers that divide just for a moment here. Barriers that divide, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, do you see all the barriers that have collapsed? And at one time, they were all very formidable and very real. There were national barriers, Greek and Jew. There were religious barriers, circumcision and uncircumcision. There were social barriers, barbarian and Scythian. And there were standards of class between the bond and the free, between the slave and the master. But in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither religious or irreligious. There's neither social or antisocial or without social status. There are none of those things. In Christ is the one great meeting point for every man, woman, and child born of the Spirit. And we shall see tonight our Lord Jesus leveling out all these barriers and distinctions and differences and making us all one in Christ Jesus. Well, now, that's just a little introduction in the way. We're going to come to our barriers proper, the four in the temple. Now, let's come for number one. Barrier number one. And I think we'll take our New Testament reading on this from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who has made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. Now, I showed you the middle wall there tonight in the temple of Solomon. I showed you the middle wall in the court of the Gentiles. And here is Paul taking up this middle wall that I was showing you in the court of the Gentiles. And he says here, it has broken down the middle wall of partition. Now, there are one or two things I would like to tell you about that middle wall of partition. Paul, no doubt, in the Ephesian letter, is using it now I suppose more in a spiritual sense, about the wall that divides between Jew and Gentile. But there was an actual literal middle wall of partition in the temple. And this is what it was like. It was a wall almost all the way round the temple proper, right at the far side of the temple site there. About 4.5 feet high. A white wall. And that wall ran right round there, a barrier to the Gentiles. They dare not go beyond that. And some little time ago, I came across a little reading and was about a tablet or a plaque. And it was found in excavations from Herod's temple. And it was a stone that had been found from the middle wall before it had been finally destroyed and scattered. And the inscription that was on the middle wall of partition and was placed at certain distances on the wall around the temple proper there in the court of the Gentiles, the translation was this: no stranger is to enter within the balustrade around the temple enclosure. Whoever is caught will be responsible to himself for his death, which will ensue. And so, in other words, that wall was there, and upon pain of death, the Gentile could not go beyond it. Now, I have opened here at Ephesians chapter 2 tonight, and I want you to notice with me just two or three expressions as we see our blessed Lord removing barrier number one. That is the barrier to the Gentiles. Now, in verse 13, let us read together. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And the first little word expression is far off. Those two words, far off. And that's where every Gentile was. And when I come to the temple here and look at the temple proper and just watch my model, I can see actually and literally that's the position the Gentiles were in the temple. They were far off. They just got through the entrance into the first court at this end of the temple. They could not enter by the court of the women, nor the men, nor the priests, nor yet, of course, away into the holiest place of all. Right yonder at the far end was the holiest of all, and right at the other end, afar off at the other extremity, was the court of the Gentiles. And so you can say literal and actually and physically, where the Gentiles were concerned, in the temple of Solomon, the Gentiles' position was afar off. But you and I know tonight that that is speaking also spiritually. And one of the first things I say God made us aware of, and we want to get it practical and home to our heart, was a sense of distance between our soul and God. I remember as a young man when I awakened first to a conscious sense of that, a conscious sense of distance between me and God. And you know, even tonight I would have to say that even since God has saved me, I have been conscious at times because of the coldness of my heart of a sense of distance again creeping in between me and God. But that was my first position, afar off. Literally, for the Gentiles, yes, connected with the temple. But spiritually for all men, we were at a distance from God, and we felt it, and we knew it. Now, the second expression here, in verse 13, if you look in again, he says, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, from afar off we are made nigh. How nigh we shall see tonight.
Because before we're finished, we shall see that Gentile as well as Jew can proceed right on and into the holiest of all, right into the nearer presence of God with no barriers whatever. How nigh I've been made to God. And you know, while at one time I was conscious of my distance and separation, and I knew I was estranged from God, now, equally so, and blessed be God for this, I have a conscious sense of His nearness. I have a conscious sense of His presence. Just at one time, a conscious sense of distance we mean God. Now I have equally a conscious sense of His presence and His nearness. My dear brother, tonight, that expression afar off isn't just a biblical term merely. That's a reality in my life. I knew that. And made nigh isn't just a technical doctrinal term of Scripture. That is something that I have experienced. I know tonight I'm near to Him. And how blessed to be able to come into this Bible class meeting and sit down as in the immediate presence of Christ, and to know that I'm nigh tonight, that I'm close to Him. There were the two positions. But now that doesn't exhaust what we want here. Come into verse 15 again. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twin one new man. So we are not only made nigh, verse 13, we are made one, verse 15. And if you go down to verse 21, we're made a holy temple in the Lord, and that's the work finished and complete. Made nigh, made one, made a holy temple in the Lord. But I just fasten on that previous expression for a moment. Made one. Now let me try and get the picture before you. The tremendous task Christ had. Not only to remove the barrier between me and God, but the barrier between me and the Jewish world, the Jew and the Gentile. Now let's take the Jews. How did the Jews regard the Gentiles, and how did the Gentiles regard the Jews? Well, the Jews looked on the Gentiles as dogs. You remember how the Lord Jesus said to the Syrophoenician woman, he said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread, that is what belongs to the Jews, and give it to the dogs, that's the Gentiles. They were looked on as dogs. And dogs were animals that were unclean, and they were wild, and they fed on all the unclean carcasses they could get, and they were held with the greatest of contempt with a Jew, not like the domesticated creature of our land. And the Jews looked on Gentiles just as mere dogs. But then I take the Gentiles' attitude to the Jew, and how great was the barrier there. I want you to turn back into the Acts just for a moment here, Acts chapter 16, to see a little expression that gripped me for the first time this week. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we read here in verse 19-20. And when our masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought him to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. What a commentary on the Jew. These men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. And wherever the Jews have gone, they have been in trouble. Oh, Paul was the right kind of trouble here. But where the Jewish nation has gone, whatever they've been, these men that are Jews, somehow or other do exceedingly trouble places. You remember how the Jews troubled Hitler? and Nazi Germany, and one of the things that led him to try to purge out the Jews. And the Jews troubled Nasser, and he wanted to drive them into the sea. And the Jews have troubled Sadat, and the Jews have troubled Carter, and the Jews have troubled Russia, and they've troubled Britain, and they've troubled America, and they've troubled the world. And that is a comment on all Jews you can apply tonight. These men that are Jews do exceedingly trouble the city. And wherever they are, they have been a source of trouble worldwide. And everyone's eyes are toward the Jew, and everyone's heart has been against the Jew, wherever they've gone. And there are the Gentiles tonight, and the Jew says they're dogs. And there are the Jews tonight, and the Gentiles worldwide ever have said, wherever they go, they trouble the city. Now what the Lord had to do was to take the two and to make them into one. And our Lord Jesus Christ has done that. Now how did he do it? Well, our Lord did it this way. There were the second commands and ordinances Paul talks about in Ephesians 2 there. The law of sacrifice and offering. The bringing of the lamb to the brazen altar that you see there beside the model. And the sacrifice and the blood sprinkling and entering that way. The Gentile nations hadn't got that. The Jews had it. What did Jesus do? He abolished all that. And he opened up one way for them all. By the blood of his own dear Son, God the Father opened up the way. So he brought us and he put us all on the one level to approach by the one way and come through the one Savior. And in doing it, we all meet at the cross. And the cross is the meeting place for every man, woman, and child. Be he Jew, be he Gentile, be he rich, be he poor, be who however he will. They all meet at the cross. And there, through the blood of Jesus and the cross, is joined Jew and Gentile into one. And they stand together there in common ground as one. And they meet there. No barriers now. I can extend out my hand to the Jew and I can say, brother, if he's saved by sovereign grace. And the Gentile can not only come to the Jew can take him warmly by the hand if he's a Gentile and say, brother, sister. And the barriers are down. Number one has collapsed. And so that's the first barrier in the court of the Gentiles. And now there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Barrier number one's gone. Now let's come quickly for the second barrier. And the second barrier was the barrier of the woman. Now, when we come to this barrier, and allow me just go back to the model here for a moment. Here, when we come to the court of the woman could come across, of course, here, past where the Gentiles could come. They were regarded above the dogs, after all, they were Jewish women. And so they could enter by the gate beautiful here with the men, the Jewish men. And they could come in to the court of the women. But as soon as they came up to the upper end, to the 15 steps of the gate, Nicanor, there was a wall across there too, with just the entrance for the gate. In other words, the women were barred.
This is the end of track one. Please turn your tape now.
Now let's come quickly for the second barrier. And the second barrier was the barrier of the woman. Now, when we come to this barrier, and allow me just go back to the model here for a moment. Here, when we come to the court of the woman could come across, of course, here, past where the Gentiles could come. They were regarded above the dogs, after all, they were Jewish women. And so they could enter by the gate dutiful here with the men, the Jewish men, and they could come in to the court of the women. But as soon as they came up to the upper end, to the 15 steps, to the gate, Nicanor, there was a wall across there too, was just the entrance for the gate. In other words, the women were barred. The Gentiles were barred. And women were barred. There was a barrier there, there was a wall, and it kept back the woman. And I can imagine, as those women came right up to the 15 steps, as far as they could press in toward God in the holy place, the sanctuary, I imagine them watching their men and the women watching their husbands, leaving them and going on further ahead into the privileged court of the men beyond the women, and saying to themselves, what privileges the men have that we women haven't got. It's a man's world, I think I hear them say. The men can get nearer to God than we can. We're kept at a distance further than the Gentiles, but we can't get as near to God as the men. And there was a barrier there upon the women. But thank God tonight, dear sisters, what you owe to Christ tonight. Because that in Christ we read, there's neither male nor female, as well as neither Jew nor Gentile. That barrier's gone. And I want to say to you women tonight, that you can get as near to God as any man can get. And you can get as close to God as any man can get. Because in Christ, there's neither male nor female. You're as near to Him, you're as dear to Him, you're as much part of the church, the bride of Christ, as any man ever is. The Lord has put down barrier number two. And as He strides on, and He strides like a mighty Samson and a mighty Goliath, barrier number one goes, Jew and Gentile. Barrier number two goes, male and female. He levels them out. And up to that point, men and women can get as close to God, one with the other. You know, I remember a dear soul, a very dear sister in the Lord, when I was at Killaloe. And she was inclined to look one day, somewhat at perhaps maybe offices, work that the man is cut out for, perhaps the woman are not, in the church and so on, offices and so on. And to think of the men especially privileged. You know, I said this to her, dear soul, you can be as much filled with the Spirit as any man can ever be. And dear soul, you can have as much of God as any man can ever have. And dear soul, you can have as much of Christ as any man can ever have. And if you can have as much of Christ and as much of the Spirit and as much of God, tell me, what else do you want? Dear soul, office, responsibility in the church, whatever, those things, in my mind tonight, gifts and offices are a very small thing. It's nearness to God.
and being filled with the Spirit, that to me is the choicest thing of all. And dear woman, it can be yours as much as the man. Barrier one, down. Barrier two, down. Now let's come to the third barrier here tonight. And the barrier number three was the barrier in the court of the men. And that is, there was inside the gate Nicanor, in the large court of the priest, there was also a little balustrade, and in there the men could go. But beyond that balustrade, no man, except he was a priest, dare enter. And I can imagine tonight, somehow the man would be standing yonder in the further court of the men, and looking over the balustrade, watch the priests at work. And I can see here some of those men saying to themselves, they can see perhaps the priest coming to the brazen altar, the large altar down here at the front. And as they kindled the fires on the altar, I can imagine the men saying, I'll never do that. I'll never kindle the fires on the altar. You see, I'm not of the tribe of Levi. I'll never be able to do that. And I can imagine some of the priests, after working at the brazen altar, came to the brazen sea with the 12 oxen shouldering it, and washed their hands and performed their ablutions, saying, I'll never be privileged to wash at that sea. And I can imagine some of them, as they saw the priest enter to the holy place to attend the altar of incense and the golden candlestick and the table of showbread, to say, we'll never have the privilege of doing that. Never, never, never will we do it. Because this alone is the task of the tribe of Levi. And that is something I can never do, because I'm not of that tribe. In other words, tonight, there was a barrier here to very great privileges, and it was the barrier of the men here in the court of the men. Now, that work of priesthood there, that alone belonged to the tribe of Levi and the house of Aaron, that work of priesthood, that was always kept for the tribe of Levi and the house of Aaron. But when I come to this privileged age in grace of grace, I ask myself the question, is there a faction within the church that are alone priests unto God, and are all the rest of the believers no longer classed in the priesthood? Well, thank God, dear people, that's not so tonight. Now, I want you to turn to the scripture here for a moment, and we're going to 1 Peter chapter 2. Very important thing here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, notice that. Peter says to these believers, ye are a royal priesthood. Now, who is he writing to? He's writing to the newborn babes of verse 2. He's writing to the lively stones of verse 5. He's writing to those that believe in verse 7. And he's writing to the ordinary believer. And he's saying, ye are a royal priesthood. You are the priesthood in the Church of Christ. Now, the Roman Catholic Church does not agree with our teaching on this. And you know how there are certain men whom they designate their priests, and the rest are not priests. But in the Church of Christ, in the Evangelical Church of Believers, every Christian is a priest.
Every brother is part of the priesthood. Every sister is part of the priesthood. And the priesthood that was denied to 11 tribes out of 12 and allowed only to one house within that tribe has now been taken and opened up to the whole of the Church of Jesus Christ, and every believer steps right into priesthood the moment he's saved. My dear friends, what a privilege is this age. And so you see tonight, if I was to apply these articles of furniture, you and I tonight can help to keep the light of testimony burning, the candlestick, the light, the witness, the testimony. You and I can keep it burning. Or if I was to take the altar of incense, you and I can keep the incense burning and our prayers ascending up before the throne. You and I can come at wash as a neighbor of God's word. You and I can keep the fires burning on the altar before God. Doesn't matter what the task tonight. God has leveled out the barrier through Christ. And I can step into the priesthood and exercise a holy ministry that only one house out of the whole of that nation had the privilege to engage in. Barrier one, neither Jew nor Gentile. Barrier two, neither male nor female. Barrier three, ye, all believers, are a royal priesthood. And that barrier is down too. Now let's come for the fourth barrier. And we come here for the barrier number four. And this was the barrier that was placed in the court of the priests, and particularly with the first part of the temple, which was the holy place. Now, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and see a verse or two here that has delighted me for years. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6-7. Now, this is figured on the tabernacle, but the temple was just an enlargement of the tabernacle. Now, let's read 6 and 7. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for the sins of the people. Now, there are two classes, priests, verse 6, and high priest, verse 7. The priest could go as far as into the holy place, and he could attend to the altar of incense, the candlestick, the table of showbread, but there he stopped. When he went up to the end of the holy place, there was a huge veil. You remember, was rent in two at the death of our Lord. And then beyond that was the most holy place. And then there, the high priest could only go once a year, and that without blood. My friends, the rarity of privilege in that age. It's a marvel to look at it. There was opening up and yet it was closing all the way. Reserves, 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 reserves. All the way. Barrier, 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 barrier. Now if you look in here in verse 7, I'll just point out one or two things. First of all here, you'll notice the barrier with the high priest. There was a limitation as to the person. There's only one man ever got into the holy place where God is, where God was, and that was the high priest. There was not only a limit to persons, there was a limit to the time. He could only go once a year. No, he couldn't go twice. Only once. Once every year, the high priest could go into the most holy place where God's presence was.
He only was allowed in there once a year. And over a lifetime, he would only have got maybe 30, 40 times in the presence of God in the whole lifetime. And that's all he had ever had. A limited person, high priest, a limited time alone, once every year. And there was a limit to condition here. It says, never without blood. Now I want you to see what happens here. When the Lord Jesus came, and that veil of the temple was rent in twain, the way was opened up into God's holy place. Now, ask yourself who can go in now. And ask yourself how often they can go in. And ask yourself where they can go in. And you'll see tonight something of the privilege is yours. Dear friend, one man in 2 to 3 million people got in there every year. One man in 2 or 3 million. That's all. And now tonight, every believer born again of the Spirit of God can go in there. And there was only one man dare get in there. Again, that one man could only get in once a year. Now let me ask you a question. How would you feel tonight if you were only allowed into God's immediate presence once a year? How would you like that? My friend, I tell you, you would value your privilege. If, say, on the first day of January every year, whatever it was, you were admitted into the Lord's presence, and then you weren't allowed in for another year. Look, dear friend, I can come into His presence at any time. And I can come in 100 times a day. And the high priest, mark you, the highest man in Israel, never knew anything more than once a year. Do you see your privilege? You see it? And another thing, there was a limit as to place. It always had to be in Jerusalem. It always had to be in the temple. It always had to be in that exact spot where the holy place was there, the most holy place. But where I'm concerned, there's no limit of place. I can fall down on my knees in that wee vestry at the side there, as many a time have done before the meeting. And I'm in His immediate presence. I can go up to my room tonight and fall down there and I'm in His immediate presence. I can bow in prayer at the bedside in the royal hospital with a sick man and I can be in His immediate presence. Thank God tonight the way into the holiest has been opened up. No limit to person now, anybody. No limit to time now, any time. No limit to place now anywhere. And the way has been opened. The barrier is down. If you look into chapter 9, then I finish on this, you'll notice in verse 8 why those barriers were there. He says, the Holy Ghost this signify that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. The time hadn't come, you see. But then, I come into chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. The time has come. Gather up those thoughts tonight on barriers that divide. Barrier number one, down. Neither Jew nor Gentile. Barrier number two, down. Neither male nor female. Barrier number three, down. We're all believer priests now. Barrier number four, down. We can everyone enter into the holiest of all at any time, in any place, anyone. And we can call on the name of the Lord. Doesn't it make you feel your privilege? Don't you feel like shouting hallelujah? What the Lord has done for us. Privilege to be born in the day of grace. May God bless you. One five four. Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, my name is written in his hands. Verses 2, 3, and 4. Ever thou didst come and go before, break down all the barriers that divide, and open up the way without any reserve or let or hindrance, so that we can come straight away into the immediate presence of God, no matter who we are or how unworthy we are, and we can call upon the name of the Lord. Help us to value our privilege. Help us to exercise our priesthood now as we come before the throne in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.